Few things are more intriguing regarding the UFO-UAP phenomenon than the murky accounts of the recovery of materials, or even mostly intact craft, by the US and various other governments worldwide over the last 80 years. These include famous stories such as Roswell in 1947, where witnesses, some more reliable than others, claimed that they had witnessed a crash retrieval by the then US Army Air Force not far from the White Sands Missile Range in New Mexico. Lesser known are accounts of a crash 2 years before, just weeks after the first successful test of a nuclear weapon, Trinity, where a UFO reportedly struck a Marconi tower, again just outside White Sands, where the first nuclear test happened, and in the direction of the UFO appeared to be coming from, that then made a controlled crash landing, and was recovered through great effort by the US Army, of which still extant evidence of their activity, such as road building into what was then nowhere, have been reported. But the problem with these accounts has always been twofold. The first is that people hoax, conflate, misremember, and even if they are telling the accurate truth, they're almost all now long dead and cannot be further interviewed. The second is a lack of physical evidence to test from these supposed crashes, which if it exists has been tightly held under the utmost secrecy by the government of the US, apparently for longer than most of us have been alive, through successive iterations of government. In other words, alright, we have claims. We also have the weird situation of Roswell, where the US Army held a press conference and told newspapers that they had recovered a UFO, only to change the story the next day to it being just a weather balloon, and then change it again in the 1990s to it having been a highly secret Project Mogul balloon array designed to spy on Soviet nuclear testing, something that did not need to be kept secret into the 1990s. This is a theme among the US government that has gone on for a very long time, going back to the rather discredited Project Blue Book, which seemed intended as a debunk at all costs debunking operation as called out by their former chief scientist, Dr. J. Allen Hynek of Swamp Gas fame, who later recanted and concluded that whatever this is, it's too broad to be aliens, and may represent something even more exotic, whatever that may be. But the reality of the US government and UFOs has been highly problematic. Often the US government was its own worst enemy, defaulting on secrecy instead of openness, often playing what appear to be games with Freedom of Information Act seekers on the subject. This is not unheard of for them. One of the few secrets kept from World War I, and it was kept for nearly a century, was a recipe for disappearing ink that was well known publicly. This continues. Despite setting up a US government probe, Arrow, with the chief scientist there being Dr. Sean Kirkpatrick, saying publicly that they seek openness in their probe and in their findings. Yet from the back end, as reported by FOIA veteran expert John Greenwald at the Black Vault, link below, that a new tactic, that of criminal law, are now being used by the US government to keep UAP materials classified, all during a supposedly open probe by both Arrow and NASA. In Arrow's defense, a few hours ago they released a statement detailing that they are unaware of the new developments regarding this story, but that any whistleblower should come to them. In other words, they didn't deny it. At the same time, however, it's also possible for a government to keep something that's so unbelievably sensitive secret if you compartmentalize and tightly control that information. Something that's done with certain things, like nuclear arsenals and capabilities. It would not be surprising in the least if the US government keeps this secret, even from its own branches, including Arrow. But the idea of recovered materials potentially being of alien origin is alluring. It holds the potential, but not the guarantee, to dissolve the Fermi paradox instantly. If you actually have an object in your possession that is truly anomalous, and there are ways to determine that, then you are in a different ballpark. A SETI signal from afar could take years to confirm to be of alien origin, a good example being the WOW signal, which has been an open question since 1977. But an actual piece of chemically anomalous material from a technological object we cannot reproduce would change the game entirely. At that point, some UFOs are no longer unidentified. Rather, the question then becomes, who made them? Today, the game may have changed. As you well know, I'm skeptical but open on this issue. I tend to focus on radio signals and distant technosignatures because I consider it more likely to be unambiguous if we find something. But I also consider it imprudent to close the door on close technosignatures because there simply isn't a compelling reason to do so. If aliens can be far, they can also be near. Hence Enrico Fermi's question of where are they? Well, maybe they were here all along. So I leave it open, but I am not convinced that we're looking at aliens. So don't shoot the reporter on this one. Instead, let's just look at what we know about this breaking story and what science can do with it moving forward as to determining if this is of alien origin or something else. Today, in an article posted on The Debrief by Leslie Kane and Ralph Blumenthal, link below, that by the way was originally destined for The Washington Post, but apparently there was pressure to publish it quickly, which is normally what you see when reporters are about to imminently get scooped and the intended outlet is taking too long. This is not surprising. The rumor mill surrounding this story has been quite active for a number of months now, but in a broader form has been simmering for decades, going all the way back to 1947 regarding retrievals of materials associated with UAP. The more recent rumors were that there is a group of four whistleblowers with knowledge of a retrieval and back engineering project by the US government and its contractors regarding a captured UAP of unknown origin. Today, the first whistleblower has come out. David Charles Grush is a former combat officer in Afghanistan, then an officer of the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency and the National Reconnaissance Office of the US government. Also, the NRO's representative to the Pentagon's Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon Task Force from 2019 to 2021, has stated over a number of decades materials and objects of exotic origin have been retrieved by the US government and some of its contractors. What does exotic origin mean? Grush is quoted in the article, "Of exotic origin, non-human intelligence, whether extraterrestrial or unknown origin, based on the vehicle morphologies and material science testing, and the possession of unique atomic arrangements and radiological signatures." In fairness, at first glance, this is a claim, and it is by no means a unique claim. We've periodically heard these kinds of things for many years, including a highly detailed account from Colonel Philip Corso decades ago, claims that are still unsubstantiated, and nothing ever came of them. But potentially this may go much further than anything previously, due to active government investigations into these claims. This particular one is different in that Grush has filed a suit, represented by the former Intelligence Community Inspector General, submitting classified materials pertaining to these supposed materials, described as intact or partially intact vehicles. His statements were approved for release by the Defense Office of Pre-Publication and Security Review at the U.S. Department of Defense. These are in accordance with actions taken by the U.S. Congress to protect whistleblowers on the subject of UFOs and indeed crash retrievals, something that was mandated by law recently in an ongoing bipartisan investigation into this on Capitol Hill. Grush's involvement with the NRO is attested in an NRO report that he was an intelligence strategist tasked with analyzing unidentified aerial phenomena reports and also informing Congress on the matter. And while in government, helped draft the congressional legislation known as FY 2023 National Defense Authorization Act that led to this, which was signed into law by U.S. President Joe Biden in 2022. Essentially, the story goes like this. The reported materials were hidden across multiple agencies and contractors for decades to avoid oversight. This, by the way, is potentially illegal. As part of a kind of cold war between nation states in trying to figure out what these anomalous technologies actually are, how they work, and so on. And this is why you would keep something like this very secret. And you might not even do it solely through the military. Remember, places like Los Alamos are run by the Department of Energy, which has its own method of classification. If you are in a world of global tensions, which we are and have been throughout recorded history, if you recover materials and technology that can give you an edge over your adversaries, then you will keep it ultra secret until you figure out how to take advantage of it. That's easier said than done, and if some kind of alien gadget does indeed exist, we really need to see this thing in public to really know. But here are some reasons why it might be so secretive. The short answer is that they don't know how it works. Arthur C. Clarke once famously said that any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. That's an understatement. Imagine for a moment that you find a fragment of something. Let's say a big screen television. You find a piece of the plastic housing of it, and that's it. The rest of the TV is destroyed. Well, what do you do with that? Well, you can certainly do materials analysis and find out everything you want to know about the plastic. Plastic is synthetic, so you know it's not some natural object. And that's it. A piece of plastic housing doesn't tell you anything about the electronics and function of the television that were once there. You don't have enough to go on to do anything but speculate on what it was that the plastic chunk came from. You just know what it was made of. Maybe you might see vague signs, such as vents, to dissipate heat. But you might also not recognize that until you've built a television yourself, and you know the need for them. Trouble is, you have to build the TV before you can know, which means your artifact is basically useless past a certain point. What it doesn't tell you anything about is the cable networks, peripheral devices like gaming consoles, streaming services, the satellite network supporting it, and so on. You'll only know what you're looking at when you develop those things yourself independently. But there is a limit to that. If you have a mostly intact craft, then you can go a bit further. But without knowing the infrastructure that supports it, you're going to see very, very slow progress. But you'll always have the hope that if you do make a breakthrough, it gives you a leg up over your adversaries. Another often cited reason for secrecy, usually within the UFO community, is that there is a belief that the public can't handle open knowledge of aliens. This one is probably off base to a degree. There was a time when it was common knowledge that Mars was inhabited by canal-building Martians. It turned out to not be the case, but when it was widely believed, it did not collapse society. Even today, a large contingent of folks believe the UFOs to be of alien origin just based on the accounts. Fair enough, but it's safe to say those people, at least for the most part, have not freaked out about it. Indeed, most people that have seen a truly anomalous UFO remain perplexed about it, if anything. So we can handle it if there is indeed anything to all of this. And there may not be. Remember, governments sometimes make up fake secrets to cover for real secrets. It might be useful to induce your adversaries into believing that you have something that you do not. So they go on wild goose chases to get their hands on mythical technologies that don't really exist. This could all be disinformation, but if it is, it's now involving levels of government, like Congress, that seem unprecedented. And it's now wide open for whistleblowers, blowing their whistles over disinformation programs, out to not only mislead adversaries, but also the public and the voters. At the same time, however, if you were a government or governments faced with the prospect of a potential adversary of alien origin far more advanced than we are, for which no defense could be mounted against, might it not be better to simply not tell the public? Ignorance is bliss when there's absolutely nothing you can do about the problem. Grush claims in his government investigations of the UAP recovery issue, he was harassed, apparently from within the government, on the subject, simply for looking into it. This actually represents an apparent pattern. In the 1960s, U.S. Senator Barry Goldwater had heard rumors of retrievals, to which he asked his friend General Curtis LeMay about it, and if he could see these materials. LeMay said no, and never ask about it again, in no uncertain terms, according to Senator Goldwater. This was repeated decades later by former U.S. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, who before his recent passing related that he'd always heard that a certain defense contractor had a downed UAP, but that they wouldn't give him access to it. He later pulled back on this, but compounding this is a mysterious document known as the Wilson-Davis Memo that was reportedly found among the notes of Apollo astronaut Edgar Mitchell and details a conversation Dr. Eric Davis reportedly had with Admiral Thomas Wilson regarding Wilson's attempts as a Pentagon auditor to gain access to this program, but was stonewalled. The authenticity of this memo, written by Dr. Davis himself, has been recently attested to by several sources, including former U.S. Department of Defense Deputy Secretary for Intelligence, Chris Mellon. The memo details that a major defense contractor holds an object of unknown origin that they think can fly, that they've been trying to back engineer for a very long time now with little success, and that the project lies among the highest levels of secrecy within government. What's interesting about Grisha's story is that he says that he's provided Congress with the names of people directly involved with the project, current and former, some of whom have concerns, including illegal contracting, and a number of other apparent crimes surrounding the subject. After all, after reporting by Grisha to their office, the intelligence community's inspector general found the complaints credible, which went on to the ODNI, headed by Director of National Intelligence Avril Haines, and two Senate intelligence subcommittees. This is hitting high, much more so than the vague claims of the past regarding the subject. It also holds the potential to shut down the independent and government probes into UAP to a degree. It's possible that we may no longer need to be asking the very beginning questions in order to scientifically investigate UAP, if we have materials from them to directly study. This issue has led Avi Loeb of Harvard, in an article on Medium, links to all materials in the description below, to openly call for the US government to simply open the floodgates and allow the scientific community to look at these purported materials if they do indeed exist. There is plenty of governmental weirdness on this issue that's come to light already, such as funding earmarked to Bigelow Aerospace to store some of these materials, a multi-million dollar affair, only for nothing to ever show up at Bigelow. That alone warrants investigation on just where funds go and why within the US government. That's an accountability to the taxpayer issue on its own, regardless of what was behind it. Now, it pays to note here that there are reported public materials associated with UAP UFOs that have been recovered in recent years, more on that problem in a bit. And some of them appear to be very anomalous, particularly a specimen recovered from Ubatuba in Brazil, held by Gary Nolan of Stanford University, undergoing active analysis. This material, metallic in nature, doesn't make sense isotopically. Essentially, it's manufactured, but would have cost an exorbitant amount of money to do in the 1970s, or for that matter today, because it involves isotopes we simply don't use. I recently conducted an interview at Event Horizon with Dr. Nolan on the subject, link below. This metal would have had to have been custom made at great cost, only to be dropped on a beach in order to perpetrate an elaborate hoax in front of multiple unrelated witnesses, which saw a floating bright object moving erratically, dropping it in a molten state. The question is, why would an alien do that? Well, that's a matter of pure speculation. Maybe it was smelting metal and dropping slag. I've talked about this many times, von Neumann probes wandering star systems looking for raw materials. But that's so highly speculative that way more evidence and proof is needed to do much with it. The other age-old question is, why do UFOs crash at all? All-powerful spacefaring civilizations are probably going to have a full understanding of things like gravity and lightning, and probably aren't going to have any special problems navigating them. We usually don't with our commercial airliners, so long as they're functioning normally. But there's something to note here. What you are seeing here is a crashed alien spacecraft, a saucer, on a planet in the solar system. In this case, we were the aliens that deliberately crashed it into Mars. It's a backshell, formerly protecting a Mars rover that we have on the surface of that planet. Why was it discarded? It had served its purpose, and we humans love to litter, whether officially or unofficially. After all, no one on Mars has posted any pack out your trash signs, which don't always even work when they're posted in natural areas here on Earth. In short, we could be getting peppered with the remains of equipment that no longer has a purpose. It may even be that aliens do it on purpose. Think, you humans, you think you're so smart with your nuclear testing. Well, try to figure this piece of technology out. Consider yourself warned. But there's another issue here. Whenever humans in the past have found bits and pieces of metals they were unfamiliar with, they took note and used them. Multiple human groups before the Iron Age found iron meteorites sitting on the ground and hammered them into tools without knowing what iron really was. This phenomenon is known in Inuit cultures in Greenland, from the Cape York iron meteorite, Namibia, where for centuries locals fashioned spears from fragments of the Gibeon meteorite. Meteorite materials have been found in graves in China. The Europeans chained a meteorite in a church to keep it from wandering off the way it came, and so on. We knew about iron long before we knew how to extract it from ore. We also live in a world where archaeological excavations have been going on for centuries all over the world. The Vatican Museum, for example, is loaded with marble statues discovered through excavations during the Renaissance. Early scientific archaeology was being conducted in Europe before the United States government even existed prior to 1776. Now, archaeological digs, all independent, are done in most of the 195 countries on Earth, not to mention millions of private individuals metal detecting all over the planet, all under different governments and auspices, private or institutional. Yet in the annals of archaeology, we don't find metals without explanation. Sure, we find silver, gold, bronze, mercury, tin, lead, and others, like nickel iron from meteorites, but we don't find aluminum, titanium, tungsten, cadmium, tantalum, uranium, and a great many others in archaeological contexts. So if aliens have been here for a long time, they weren't dropping their Pepsi bottles until recently. You can speculate here that they weren't interested in us until we started testing nukes. Or it could be that they never were here, and that these materials are not of anomalous origin, but instead of mistaken origin. Again, don't shoot the messenger. I want to see these materials and see the scientific papers that result, or have been done already but are classified regarding these supposed artifacts. I want to see the scientific community at large engage with them and tell us what they are, regardless of the outcome. What can happen now is one of three things. Number one, there's nothing to any of this, and it was all hype or disinformation. Two, the government opens up the materials to the scientific community and greater, far more open analysis can be done to try to figure out what we have, regardless of origin. Or three, the US government continues its trend of being very dodgy on this matter and they do whatever they can to keep it secret, leading to a whole new round of conspiracy theories. Whichever it is, buckle up. It appears we're about to find out. Thanks for listening. I'm futurist and science fiction author and host of Event Horizon, John Michael Gaudier, and be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for more information on this breaking story, along with regular in-depth explorations into this amazing universe in which we live that may be growing smaller indeed.